hours, the physical and mental fatigue, the gradually increasing sense of and confidence in the Force, the cave, and its dark side images. The cave? Abruptly, Luke stood up in the cockpit, hand going reflexively to his lightsaber as he peered through the haze. Surely he hadn't brought his X-Wing down by the cave. He had. There, no more than 50 meters away, was the tree that grew from just above that evil place, its huge blackened shape jutting upward through the surrounding trees. Beneath and between its tangled roots, just visible through the mists and shorter vegetation, he could see the dark entrance to the cave itself. "Wonderful," he muttered. "Just wonderful." From behind him came an interrogative set of beeps. "Never mind, R2," he called over his shoulder, dropping his helmet back onto the seat. "It's all right. Why don't you stay here and I'll..." The X-Wing rocked just a bit, and he looked back to find R2 already out of his socket and working his way gingerly forward. "Or if you'd rather, you can come along," he added wryly. R2 beeped again. Not a cheerful beep, exactly, but one that definitely sounded relieved. The little droid hated being left alone. "Hang on," Luke directed him. "I'll get down and give you a hand." He jumped down. The ground felt a little squishy beneath his feet, but it was easily firm enough to support the X-Wing's weight. Satisfied, he reached out with the Force to lift R2 from his perch and lower the droid to the ground beside him. "There you go," he said. From off in the distance came the long, trilling wail of one of Dagobah's birds. Luke listened as it ran down the scale, eyes searching the swamp around him and wondering why exactly he'd come here. Back on Coruscant, it had seemed important, even vital, that he do so. But now that he was actually standing here, it all seemed hazy. Hazy and more than a little silly. Beside him, R2 beeped questioningly. With an effort, Luke shook off the uncertainties. "I thought Yoda might have left something behind that we could use," he told the droid, choosing the most easily verbalized of his reasons. "The house should be..." He glanced around to get his bearings. "That way. Let's go." The distance wasn't great, but the trip took longer than Luke had anticipated. Partly it was the general terrain and vegetation. He'd forgotten just how difficult it was to get from one place to another through the Dagobah swamps. But there was something else, too. A low-level but persistent pressure at the back of his mind that seemed to press inward, clouding his ability to think. But at last they arrived, to find the house effectively gone. For a long minute, Luke just stood there, gazing at the mass of vegetation occupying the spot where the house had been, a freshly renewed sense of loss struggling against the embarrassing realization that he'd been a fool. Growing up in the deserts of Tatooine, where an abandoned structure could last for half a century or more, it had somehow never even occurred to him to consider what would happen to that same structure after 5 years in a swamp. Beside him, R2 twittered a question. "I thought Yoda might have left some tapes or books behind," Luke explained. "Something that would tell me more about the methods of Jedi training. Not much left, though, is there?" In response, R2 extended his little sensor plate. "Never mind," Luke told him, starting forward. "As long as we're here, I guess we might as well take a look." It took only a few minutes to cut a path through the bushes and vines with his lightsaber, and to reach what was left of the house's outer walls. For the most part, they were rubble, reaching only to his waist at their highest, and covered with a crisscrossing of tiny vines. Inside was more vegetation, pushing up against and in some places through the old stone hearth. Half buried in the mud were Yoda's old iron pots, covered with a strange-looking moss. Behind him, R2 gave a quiet whistle. "No, I don't think we're going to find anything useful," Luke agreed, squatting down to pull one of the pots out of the ground. A small lizard darted out as he did so and disappeared into the reedy grass. "R2, see if you can find anything electronic around here, will you?" I never saw him use anything like that, but... He shrugged. The droid obediently raised his sensor plate again. Luke watched as it tracked back and forth, and suddenly stopped. "Find something?" Luke asked. R2 twittered excitedly, his dome swiveling to look back the way they'd come. "Back that way?" Luke frowned. He looked down at the debris around him. "Not here." R2 beeped again and turned around, rolling with some difficulty across the uneven surface. Pausing, he swiveled his dome back toward Luke and made a series of sounds that could only have been a question. "Okay, I'm coming," Luke sighed, forcing back the odd sense of dread that had suddenly seized him. "Lead the way." The sunlight filtering through the leafy canopy overhead had become noticeably dimmer by the time they came within sight of the X-Wing. "Now where?" Luke asked R2. "I hope you're not going to tell me that all you were picking up was our own ship." R2 swiveled his dome back around, trilling a decidedly indignant denial. His sensor plate turned slightly to point directly at the cave. Luke swallowed hard. "You're sure?" The droid trilled again. "You're sure?" Luke said. For a minute, he just looked across through the mists at the cave, indecision swirling through his mind. There was no genuine need for him to go in there. Of that much he was certain. Whatever it was R2 had detected, it would not be anything Yoda had left behind. Not in there. But then, what was it? Leia had referred to a bip-fashy dark Jedi who'd come here. Could it be something of his? Luke gritted his teeth. "Stay here, R2," he instructed the droid as he started across to the cave. "I'll be back as soon as I can." Fear and anger, Yoda had often warned him, were the slaves of the dark side. Vaguely, Luke wondered which side curiosity served. Up close, the tree straddling the cave looked as evil as he remembered it. Twisted, dark, and vaguely brooding. As if it was itself alive with the dark side of the Force. Perhaps it was. Luke couldn't tell for sure. Not with the overwhelming emanations of the cave flooding his senses. It was clearly the source of the low-level pressure he'd felt ever since his arrival on Dagobah. And for a moment, he wondered why the effect had never been this strong before. Perhaps because Yoda had always been here before. His presence shielding Luke from the true strength of the cave's power. But now Yoda was gone, and Luke was facing the cave alone. He took a deep breath. "I am a Jedi," he reminded himself firmly. Slipping his comlink from his belt, he thumbed it on. "R2, you copy?" The comlink trilled back. "Okay, I'm starting in. Give me a signal when I get close to whatever it is you're picking up." He got an affirmative-sounding beep. Returning the comlink to his belt, he drew his lightsaber. Taking another deep breath, he ducked under the gnarled tree roots and stepped into the cave. This, too, was as bad as he remembered it. Dark, dank, alive with skittering insects and slimy plants. It was generally as unpleasant a place as Luke had ever been in. The footing seemed more treacherous than it had been before. And twice in the first dozen steps, he nearly fell on his face as the ground gave way beneath his weight. Not badly, but enough to throw him off balance. Through the mists ahead, a well-remembered spot loomed, and he found himself gripping his lightsaber all the more tightly as he neared it. On this spot, once, he'd fought a nightmare battle with a shadowy, unreal Darth Vader. He reached the place and stopped, fighting back the fear and memories. But this time, to his relief, nothing happened. No hissing breath came from the shadows. No Dark Lord glided forward to confront him. Nothing. Luke licked his lips and pulled the comlink off his belt. No, of course there would be nothing. He had already faced that crisis, had faced it and conquered it. With Vader redeemed and gone, the cave had nothing further to threaten him with, except nameless and unreal fears, and those only if he allowed them to have power over him. He should have realized that from the start. R2, he called. You still there? The little droid buzzed in reply. All right, Luke said, starting forward again. How far do I have to... And right in the middle of his sentence, practically in the middle of a step, the haze of the cave abruptly coalesced around him into a flickering, surreal vision. He was on a small, open-air ground vehicle, hovering low over some sort of pit. The ground itself was indistinct, but he could feel a terrible heat rising all around him from it. Something poked hard in his back, urging him forward onto a narrow board protruding horizontally from the vehicle's side. Luke caught his breath, the scene suddenly coming clear. He was back on Jabba the Hutt's skiff, being prepared for his execution in the great pit of Carcoon. Ahead, he could see the shape of Jabba's sail barge now, drifting a bit closer as the courtiers jostled one another for a better view of the coming spectacle. Many of the barge's details were indistinct through the dream mists, but he could see clearly the small, dome-topped figure of R2 at the top of the ship, awaiting Luke's signal. I'm not going to play this game, Luke called out toward the vision. I'm not. I've faced this crisis too, and I've defeated it. But his words seemed dead even in his own ears, and even as he spoke them, he could feel the jab of the guard's spear in his back, and could feel himself drop off the end of the plank. In midair, he twisted around, grabbing the end of the board and flipping high over the guard's heads. He landed and turned back toward the sail barge, hand extended for the lightsaber R2 had just sent arcing toward him. It never reached him. Even as he stood there waiting for it, the weapon changed direction, curving back toward the other end of the sail barge. Frantically, Luke reached out for it with the force, but to no avail. The lightsaber continued its flight and came to rest in the hand of a slender woman standing alone at the top of the barge. Luke stared at her, a feeling of horror surging through him. In the mists, with the sun behind her, he could see no details of her face, but the lightsaber she now held aloft like a prize told him all he needed to know. She had the power of the Force, and had just condemned him and his friends to death. And as the spears pushed him again onto the plank, he heard, clearly through the dream mists, her mocking laughter. No! Luke shouted, and as suddenly as it had appeared, the vision vanished. He was back in the cave on Dagobah, his forehead and tunic soaked with sweat, a frantic electronic beeping coming from the comlink in his hand. He took a shuddering breath, squeezing his lightsaber hard to reassure himself that he did indeed still have it. It's... He worked moisture into a dry throat and tried again. It's okay, R2, he reassured the droid. I'm all right. He paused, fighting through the disorientation to try to remember what he was doing here. Are you still picking up that electronic signal? R2 beeped affirmatively. Is it still ahead of me? Another affirmative beep. Okay, Luke said. Shifting the lightsaber in his hand, he wiped more of the sweat from his forehead and started cautiously forward, trying to watch all directions at once. But the cave had apparently done its worst. No more visions rose to challenge his way as he continued deeper in. And at last, R2 signaled that he was there. The device, once he'd finally pried it out of the mud and moss, was a distinct disappointment. A small, somewhat flattened cylinder, a little longer than his hand, with five triangular rust-encrusted keys on one side and some flowing alien script engraved on the other. This is it? Luke asked, not sure he liked the idea of having come all the way in here just for something so totally nondescript. There's nothing else? R2 beeped affirmatively and gave a whistle that could only be a question. I don't know what it is, Luke told the droid. Maybe you'll recognize it. Hang on, I'm coming out. The return trip was unpleasant, but also uneventful. and a short time later, he emerged from under the tree roots with a sigh of relief into the relatively fresh air of the swamp. It had grown dark while he'd been inside, he noted to his mild surprise. That twisted vision of the past must have lasted longer than it had seemed. R2 had the X-Wing's landing lights on. The beams were visible as hazy cones in the air. Wading his way through the ground vegetation, Luke headed toward the X-Wing. R2 was waiting for him, beeping quietly to himself. The beeping became a relieved whistle as Luke came into the light, the little droid rocking back and forth like a nervous child. "Relax, R2. I'm all right," Luke assured him, squatting down and pulling the flattened cylinder out of his side pocket. "What do you think?" The droid chirped thoughtfully, his dome swiveling around to examine the object from a couple of different directions. Then, abruptly, the chirping exploded into an excited electronic jabbering. "What?" Luke asked, trying to read the flurry of sounds and wondering wryly why 3PO was never around when you needed him. "Slow down, R2, I can't..." "Never mind," he interrupted himself, getting to his feet and glancing around in the gathering darkness. "I don't think there's any point in hanging around here anymore, anyway." He looked back at the cave, now almost swallowed up by the deepening gloom, and shivered. No, there was no reason to stay, and at least one very good reason to leave. So much, he thought glumly, for finding any kind of enlightenment here. He should have known better. "Come on," he told the droid. "Let's get you back in your socket. You can tell me all about it on the way home." R2's report on the cylinder was, it turned out, fairly short and decidedly negative. The little droid did not recognize the design, could not decipher its function from what his general purpose scanners could pick up, and didn't even know what language the script on the side was written in, let alone what it said. Luke was beginning to wonder what all the droid's earlier excitement had been about, until the last sentence scrolled across his computer scope. "Lando?" Luke frowned, reading the sentence again. "I don't remember ever seeing Lando with anything like this." More words scrolled across the scope. "Yes, I realize I was busy at the time," Luke agreed, unconsciously flexing the fingers of his artificial right hand. "Getting fitted with a new hand will do that. So did he give it to General Madine, or was he just showing it to him?" Another sentence appeared. "That's okay," Luke assured the droid. "I imagine you were busy too." He looked into his rear display, at the crescent of Dagobah growing ever smaller behind him. He had intended to go straight back to Coruscant and wait for Leia and Han to return from Bithvash. But from what he heard, their mission there could run a couple of weeks, or even more. And Lando had invited him more than once to visit his new rare ore mining operation on the super-hot planet of Niklon. "Change in plans, R2," he announced, keying in a new course. "We're going to swing over to the Athiga system and see Lando. Maybe he can tell us what this thing is." And on the way, he'd have time to think about that disturbing dream or vision or whatever it was he'd had in the cave, and to decide whether it had been in fact nothing more than a dream.
Chapter 12.
"No, I don't have a transit permit for Niklon," Han said patiently into the Falcon's transmitter, glaring across at the modified B-Wing running beside them. "I also don't have any accounts here. I'm trying to reach Lando Calrissian."
From the seat behind him came a sound that might have been a stifled laugh.
"You say something?" he asked over his shoulder.
"No,"
Leia said innocently.
"Just remembering the past."
"Right,"
Han growled. He remembered too, and Bespin wasn't on his list of fond memories.
"Look, just give Lando a call, will you?"
he suggested to the B-Wing.
"Tell him that an old friend is here, and thought we might play a hand of sabacc for my choice of his stock. Lando will understand."
"We want to what?"
Leia asked, leaning forward around his chair to give him a startled look. Han muted the transmitter.
The Imperials might have spies here, too, he reminded her. If they do, announcing our names to the whole Athiga system wouldn't be very smart.
Point, Leia conceded reluctantly. That's a pretty strange message, though.
Not to Lando, Han assured her. He'll know it's me, provided that middle-level button pusher out there loosens up and sends it in.
Beside him, Chewbacca growled a warning. Something big was approaching from aft starboard.
Any make on it?
Han asked, craning his neck to try to get a look. The transmitter crackled back to life before the Wookiee could answer.
Unidentified ship. General Calrissian has authorized a special transit waiver for you,
the B-Wing said, his tone sounding a little disappointed. He'd probably been looking forward to personally kicking the troublemakers out of his system.
Your escort is moving to intercept. Hold your current position until he arrives.
Acknowledged, Han said,
not quite able to bring himself to thank the man.
Escort? Leia asked cautiously. Why an escort?
That's what you get for going off and doing politics stuff when Lando drops by the palace for a visit,
Han admonished her, still craning his neck. There it was.
Niklon's a super hot planet. Way too close to its sun for any normal ship to get to without getting part of its hull peeled off. Hence,
he waved Leia's attention to the right.
The escort.
There was a sharp intake of air from behind him. And even Han, who'd seen Lando's hollows of these things, had to admit it was an impressive sight. More than anything else, the shield ship resembled a monstrous flying umbrella, a curved dish fully half as big across as an Imperial Star Destroyer. The underside of the dish was ridged with tubes and fins, pumping and storage equipment for the coolant that helped keep the dish from burning up during the trip inward. Where the umbrella's handle would have been was a thick cylindrical pylon, reaching half as far back as the umbrella dish was wide, its far end bristling with huge radiator fins. In the center of the pylon, looking almost like an afterthought, was the tug ship that drove the thing.
Good skies, Leia murmured, sounding stunned. And it actually flies?
Yeah, but not easily,
Han told her, watching with a slight trickle of apprehension as the monstrosity moved even closer to his ship. It didn't have to move all that close. The Falcon was considerably smaller than the huge container ships the shield ships normally escorted.
Lando told me they had all sorts of trouble getting the things designed properly in the first place, and almost as much trouble teaching people how to fly them.
Leia nodded.
I believe it.
The transmitter crackled again.
Unidentified ship. This is Shield Ship 9, ready to lock. Please transmit your slave circuit code.
Right,
Han muttered under his breath, touching the transmit switch.
Shield Ship 9, we don't have a slave circuit. Just give me your course and we'll stay with you.
There was a moment of silence.
Very well, unidentified ship,
the voice said at last. Reluctantly, Han thought.
Set your course at 284, speed 0.6 sublight.
Without waiting for an acknowledgement, the huge umbrella began to drift off.
Stay with him, Chewie,
Han told the co-pilot. Not that that would be a problem. The Falcon was faster and infinitely more maneuverable than anything that size.
Shield Ship 9, what's our ETA for Niklon?
You in a hurry, unidentified ship?
How could we be in a hurry with this wonderful view?
Han asked sarcastically, looking at the underside of the dish that filled pretty much the entire sky.
Yeah, we're in kind of a hurry.
Sorry to hear that,
the other said.
You see, if you had a slave circuit, we could do a quick hyperspace hop inward together and be at Niklon in maybe an hour. Doing it this way, well, it'll take us about 10.
Han grimaced.
Great.
We could probably set up a temporary slave circuit, Leia suggested. 3PO knows the Falcon's computer well enough to do that.
Chewbacca half turned toward her, growling a refusal that left no room for argument. Even if Han had been inclined to argue, which he wasn't.
Chewie's right, he told Leia firmly. We don't slave this ship to anything, ever. You copy that, shield ship?
Okay by me, unidentified ship,
the other said. They all seemed to be taking a perverse pleasure in using that phrase.
I get paid by the hour anyway.
Fine, Han said. Let's get to it.
Sure.
The transmission cut off, and Han poised his hands over the controls. The umbrella was still drifting, but nothing more.
Chewie, has he got his engines off standby yet?
The Wookiee rumbled a negative.
What's wrong?
Leia asked, leaning forward again.
I don't know,
Han said, looking around. With the umbrella in the way, there wasn't a lot to see.
I don't like it, though.
He tapped the transmitter.
Shield Ship 9, what's the holdup?
Not to worry, unidentified ship.
The voice came back soothingly.
We got another craft coming in that also doesn't have a slave circuit. So we're gonna take you both in together. No point in tying up two of us, right?
The hairs on the back of Han's neck began to tingle. Another ship that just happened to be coming into Nick Lawn the same time they were?
You have an ID on that other ship?
He asked. The other snorted.
Hey, friend, we don't even have an ID on you.
You're a big help,
Han said, muting the transmitter again.
Chewie, you got an approach yet on this guy?
The Wookiee's reply was short and succinct, and disturbing.
Cute,
Han growled.
Real cute.
I missed that,
Leia murmured, looking over his shoulder.
He's coming in from the far side of the shield ship's central pylon,
he told her grimly, pointing to the interference brackets on the scanner scope.
Keeping it between him and us where we can't see him.
Is he doing it on purpose?
Probably.
Han nodded, hitting his restraint release.
Chewie, take over. I'm going to fire up the quads.
He ran back along the cockpit corridor to the central core and headed up the ladder.
Captain Solo!
A nervous mechanical voice called after him from the direction of the lounge.
Is something wrong?
Probably, 3PO, Han shouted back. Better strap in.
He got up the ladder, passed through the right-angle gravity discontinuity at the gunwale, and dropped himself into the seat. The control board went on with satisfying quickness as he keyed for power with one hand and grabbed the headset with the other.
Anything yet, Chewie?
He called into his mic. The other growled a negative. The approaching craft was still completely hidden by the shield ship's pylon, but the interference scope was now giving a distance reading, and from that, the Wookiee had been able to compute an upper size limit for the craft. It wasn't very big.
Well, that's something,
Han told him, running through his mental list of starship types and trying to figure out what the Empire might be throwing at them that would be that small. Some variety of TIE fighter, maybe?
Stay sharp. This might be a decoy.
The inference scope pinged. The unknown ship was starting to come around the pylon. Han braced himself, fingers resting lightly on the fire controls. And with a suddenness that surprised him, the ship burst into sight, rounding the pylon in a twisting spiral. It steadied slightly.
It's an X-Wing,
Leia identified it, sounding greatly relieved.
With Republic markings. Hello, strangers.
Luke's voice crackled into Han's ear.
Good to see you.
Hi,
Han said, stifling the automatic urge to greet Luke by name. Theoretically, they were on a secure frequency, but it was easy enough for anyone with sufficient motivation to get around such formalities.
What are you doing here?
I came to see Lando,
Luke told him.
Sorry if I startled you. When they told me I'd be going in with an unidentified ship, I thought it might be a trap. I wasn't completely sure if it was you until a minute ago.
Ah,
Han said, watching as the other ship settled into a parallel course. It was Luke's X-Wing, all right. Or at least, it looked like Luke's X-Wing.
So,
he said, casually swiveling the laser cannons around to target the other. Situated the way it was, the X-Wing would have to yaw 90 degrees around before it could fire at them. Unless, of course, it had been modified.
It's just a social call, or what?
Not really. I found an old gadget that... Well, I thought Lando might be able to identify it.
He hesitated.
I don't think we ought to discuss it out in the open like this. How about you?
I don't think we should talk about that either,
Han told him, mind racing. It sounded like Luke, too. But after that near-disastrous decoy attempt on Bip Fash, he wasn't about to take anything for granted. Somehow, they needed to make a positive identification, and fast. He tapped a switch, cutting himself out of the radio circuit.
Leia, can you tell whether or not that's really Luke out there?
I think so,
she said slowly.
I'm almost positive it is.
Almost positive won't cut it, sweetheart, he warned her.
I know,
she said.
Hang on, I've got an idea.
Han cut himself back into the radio circuit.
Said that if I had a slave circuit, they could get me in a lot faster,
Luke was saying.
A hyperspace jump as close to Niklon as the gravity well will permit. And then just a few minutes of cover before I'd be in the planetary umbra and could go the rest of the way in on my own.
Except that X-Wings don't come equipped with slave circuits, Han suggested.